Amen. Thank you, ladies. What a joy to be reminded of such an awesome God we serve. There is a kingdom, which means there is a king, and his name is Jesus, and he's good. The scripture says, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord. Indeed, as we're looking at this prayer, when the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, okay, pray then in this way, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. So, there is a kingdom, there is a king, and his name is Jesus. And he's my king, is he yours? And he's our Father. How incredibly blessed we are. One of the things that I'm hoping that you and I will get in our minds and in our experience is that when we go to our Father in prayer, if you're like me, you've got a prayer list. Okay, there are those things upon our list about which we want to talk with the Father, and realize that your Father has a list. And as we look at this prayer, Jesus is saying, not chant this prayer and God will be happy with you. He's saying, I want you to pray this way. This is a good prayer list. First of all, that you recognize this awesome God, this holy God is your Father. This holy God has asked you to be holy as he is holy. So recognize that relationship before you just jump into his presence and tell him everything you want him to do, when you want him to do it, and how you want him to do it. And so as you get there, you realize that this Father wants to have a conversation with you. And Jesus is saying this is not only really what is on his prayer list, but this is what he would like for you to have on your prayer list. And so as you begin recognizing this awesome person with whom you are speaking, that right at the top of the prayer list is, thy kingdom come. This pressing priority. Because usually when you and I go to God and we have something on our heart, boy, it's the most pressing thing and we need to talk with the Lord about this. Well, what is on God's list that he wants to talk with you about that is his pressing priority? Well, it's about his kingdom. You'll notice this morning that as we talk about these verses about the kingdom of God, that we are hoping that we get an understanding about what God's priority is for our life. I chose a couple of verses out of the book of Daniel to begin with, just to begin talking about the kingdom of God in Daniel chapter 7, some excerpts from verses 9 and 13. Daniel says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit. I like that vision. The Ancient of Days did sit. You know, he's still on his throne, amen. Always has been. He is, always will be. His garment was like white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. Behold, one like the Son of Man. You know, Jesus spoke of himself so many times as the Son of Man. And yet this so far preceding the coming of Christ, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And verse 14 says, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So in this incredible vision of Daniel, we hear some things about the kingdom. We see the Ancient of Days, God the Father himself, sitting on the throne that has always been his, and Jesus appearing before the throne, Jesus receiving this kingdom. It's his kingdom. He is the king. He is the King of kings. And as we put all of this together, and we think about last week's emphasis on hallowed be thy name, holy is your name, this sobering, fearful truth about God's holiness, which was such that the people in the Old Testament could not even come near him. I want you to recognize that God in his grace and mercy in Jesus Christ is saying to us, it's okay. I want you to know I'm going to give you this kingdom. That's what he said in Luke 12:32. Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father, this holy God, who seems so unapproachable in the Old Testament, has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Ain't God good? And so when Jesus is answering this question, Lord, teach us to pray, he's saying, okay, first of all, calm down. Your life is not so important that you cannot take time to focus upon the Almighty God. And he's your Father. He's holy, and he wants you to be holy. And so, first of all, if you want to get connected with this God and learn how to pray, recognize the person with whom you're speaking. And then the purpose. What is the most pressing priority? His kingdom. Now let's just stop and be honest with ourselves. How many of us, when we think about our prayer list, and your prayer list may be on your phone, but if you're like me and you've got a journal at the house and you've got a prayer list, how many of us have at the top of our prayer list the kingdom of God? Now you might have that in some different wording. You might have the kingdom of God worded in a different way, that he would be king in someone's life. You're praying for someone to get saved. Great. That would fit right along in that. Okay? We're going to talk about that along the way. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, recognize the person with whom you're speaking. And then recognize the pressing priority that's on his list, and he's hoping it's on the top of your list too. He's hoping that you're coming to him, wanting to talk with him about his kingdom. Now that being said, you realize that in looking at what we call the model prayer, we're in Matthew chapter 6 to find that. Matthew 6 is somewhat right in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And so we're right there toward the beginning of the chapter looking at the model prayer. Well, I want you to notice some verses later in that same chapter. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, do not be anxious then. Now let me clarify the context. He said his eye is on the sparrow, and so he's watching you. Okay? So in that case, do not be anxious then. If he's watching the sparrow, he's watching you. And so don't be anxious and say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. Let's stop there. Because sometimes when we use the word seek, we would correlate that to prayer. When you go to the Heavenly Father, what are you seeking? Are we seeking these things that he's already said he's going to take care of? Or are we seeking the kingdom? Because he just said, don't be anxious about these things. Now the world is, why is the world anxious about these things? Why is the world so anxious about making sure they have enough stuff in the world? I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't have a father like we do. See, our Father already knows that we need these things. Aren't you glad you've got a Heavenly Father? You know, when we're growing up, our parents know that we need food and clothing and shelter. Our parents know that. As children, we didn't wake up every morning, I wonder if we're going to be able to eat today. I wonder if we're going to be able to make it today. Of course, we have expanded all of those needs to every other little thing that's going on in life, and I've got to have this and all that kind of stuff. But still, you have a Heavenly Father who knows what you need. Now get this, remember this, we're in the context of Jesus teaching how to pray, how to connect with the Father, and at the top of the list, thy kingdom come. And so later in this chapter, he is saying, now don't be worried about these things. This Father with whom you're saying you want to learn how to get connected with this great God, this Father is saying, he already knows you need these things. So then it is in this context that we move to the next verse, verse 33. Most of you have memorized it, but if you see it in the context of the entire chapter, it is even more powerful. Jesus said, but seek, what's the next word? First, okay? Let's just stop again because, listen, if the sermon never gets past the sanctuary, I'm wasting my time anyway. How about you? Okay? And so, are we going to put this at the top of our prayer list? The kingdom of God. Okay? The kingdom of God. All right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Wow, he's a holy God. Seek his kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so he's simply saying when you go to God in prayer, if your prayer list is filled with all things having to do with life on this earth, that's simply food, clothing, shelter, and what you think you have to have life put together, he already knows you know those things, and he's given, you need those things, and he's given us this incredible promise. If you will put at the top of your prayer list my kingdom, and that really be what you want to talk to me about, I want to talk to you about the kingdom. If you will seek that first, we're going to talk more about what that is, but if you'll seek that first, I've got everything else. I'm your Father. We always say this. How many of y'all believe in the Bible? Amen. How many of y'all believe that verse? Okay, well, how do we know if we believe that verse? Well, we know it if we're trusting our Father to do what he said he would do because we're seeking first the kingdom, and he said he'd take care of the other. Are we doing that? All right? Now, so, you know, what is the kingdom then? Where is the kingdom? When is the kingdom? How did the kingdom come about? And there's so many different ways we could answer this question. You should see my manuscript. I have it marked and scratched and turned around trying to get in this little capsule of time all I might say about the kingdom. And it's just, I have prayed, Lord, no matter what comes out of my mouth, you speak to their heart because it's going to get confusing if I just ramble on. I'm going to share with you some scriptures, and I hope that you will listen to the Holy Spirit. He will speak to your heart if you do. Okay? I want to begin, when you think about the kingdom of God, you remember when Jesus was arrested, when Jesus was taken to Pilate, and he was having this conversation with Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus this question. He said, are you the King of the Jews? Are you the King of the Jews? Now, that'd be a good question. Somebody might come to us and say, is Jesus your king? But Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And here is what Jesus said in response to that question. In John 18, 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom, in other words, he is a king. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting. In other words, the disciples would have swords and spears and weapons and out there fighting physical battles so that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this realm. So when we think about, okay, what is the kingdom, where is it, and how do we begin to define the kingdom of God? The first thing we recognize that as Jesus made this statement about his kingdom, he's saying, my kingdom is not of this world, it's not of this realm. That implies there is another realm. We word that in a lot of different ways. Well, Jesus just said, pray then in this way, our Father which art in heaven. So there's another realm, there is an eternal spiritual realm. That is the realm in which Christ's kingdom is. Okay? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. All right. So there's that other realm. And then you go to Matthew 4:17. Matthew 4:17, of course, John the Baptist preached the same message, but Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, has come near. The Greek word is a word that means they would grasp something. And the kingdom of heaven has come near. And so what we see is this eternal spiritual kingdom that's not of this world has invaded time. And Jesus in His grace is bringing us Himself, the King, His kingdom. And so in this prayer, when you think about hallowed be thy name, you remember we studied all of that? I mean, they couldn't even get close to the Holy of Holies, and yet He wants us to be holy, and in Christ we can touch holiness. It's unheard of. And in Christ, in this passage, we can touch heaven. See, because His kingdom is of heaven, but He brought it to us. We certainly don't get ourselves to heaven. And so He brought heaven down to us. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. We touch heaven. Okay? And so the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so, matter of fact, Jesus also said in Mark 9:1, you can see this, you picture this. Now, this was said 2,000 years ago. Okay, so Jesus is standing there, some people are standing around, and He says to them, He said, truly I say to you, there are some of you who are standing here right now. These were people who were standing in front of the person of Christ 2,000 years ago. He said, there are some of you who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see what? The kingdom of God after it has come with power. Now, well, Jesus must have been wrong, right? Is Jesus ever wrong? No. Well, wait a minute. I thought the kingdom of God was coming. And it's like, what? No, He already said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Some of you are standing right here. You're not going to die physically until you see the kingdom of God come with power. So now, certainly, they were looking for an earthly kingdom. Jesus taking a throne in an earthly geographical setting. As they said in the book of Acts, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Boy, they were all about a material earthly kingdom. Jesus already said, no, my kingdom is not of this realm. Some of you, though, aren't going to die until you see the kingdom of God come with power. Now, how are they going to see that? How is it going to come with power? Well, I'm going to tell you how. When Jesus died for you and He died for me, and He paid the price for my sin and your sin, because He was the spotless, perfect, unblemished Lamb of God, the sacrifice was sufficient. But praise God, He did not stay dead. He rose again. Resurrection power in 2,000 years of man's advancements, especially the last 100 years of advancements, we have yet been able to muster the power to see somebody die, us bury them 6 feet under, pull them up later, and raise them from the dead. Why? Because it's a power that we do not have, never will. But God has that power. And some of those were alive when Jesus came out of the grave. And it was such a power that even some of those who had died came out of the graves. And let me tell you what, that is a power that is still alive today, but they saw it 2,000 years ago. And so Jesus was saying, my kingdom is not of this realm, but in God's grace, we touch that kingdom through Jesus Christ. And they saw that power through the resurrection of Jesus. Folks, we're not waiting for the kingdom one day where we can finally get some power. It's already here. Jesus rose from the grave and He was exalted to the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high, and He has been reigning ever since. He is King. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 12:28, They were fussing because they were trying to find anything wrong with Jesus that they could find. And so they decided, well, he's casting out demons. Boy, we're never going to get the people's attention away from him now. And one of them said, let's do it this way. Let's say that he's casting out demons by the power of the devil. Let's pass that rumor around. Well, Jesus, in his wisdom, simply said, hey, listen, any house divided against itself will fall. Well, that's true. But he said in Matthew 12:28, if I cast out demons by the power of God, then what? Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Boy, we need that, amen? We need the kind of power that will deliver us from spiritual bondage to set us free. And that kind of power has been here ever since God in His grace came incarnate, came in Christ Jesus. That power is still here in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into our lives. In Luke chapter 17, it says, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming. Boy, that's one of the things that's going on today. All the junk that's going on in the world. Oh, I wonder if Jesus is coming back. And let me just stop and say this. Amen, come Lord Jesus. Okay? But granted, sometimes American Christians are so egocentric that we think if anything's happening to America, it must be the end of time. Listen, stuff like this has happened to nations all throughout history, amen? And so it's not always just about us, okay? But whether the Lord's coming back now or not, just like we've been teasing and who put it out this, what, you know, hey, what chapter of Revelation are we going to see today? You know, I mean, everybody's kind of all up in this stuff. And it's like, well, the kingdom of God is already here. It's already been here. And so in Luke 17:20, he says, now, having been questioned by the Pharisees, well, when's the kingdom of God coming? Jesus said to them, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. No, sure. Matter of fact, he says in verse 21, he says, you're not going to be standing around and somebody say, hey, look, here it is, or look, there it is. Because why? It's not a physical, earthly kingdom of the world. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom in heaven. And you realize the way we're so physically oriented, I will say this. When you think about the entire universe, well, he's God of the universe, he is. But he's God of much beyond that. Even in our incapacity to calculate the size of the universe, billions of light years, his kingdom is not of this realm. And the universe that we're talking about is still of this realm. His kingdom is beyond that in a spiritual realm that is eternal. Okay? He said, no, the kingdom of God is in your midst, or as the King James Version says, within you. So let's talk about the word kingdom. Kingdom. The word king, Jesus is king. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords, the Messiah that was nailed to the cross as an offering for my sin. He's king. Okay? And what's the D-O-M stand for? Dominion. What's the dominion? Well, by all means, eternity. But in his grace, he is king, and the dominion is the hearts of mankind. You see, you realize that your physical body is not going to live forever, but when God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul, you and I have a soul within us that will live forever. But there are two forever destinations, heaven and hell. All right? And so when the Bible tells us what Jesus said about his kingdom, not coming with signs to be observed, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's in your heart where you have a throne of your own life. Who's dwelling on the throne of your heart? If it's Jesus Christ, then the kingdom of God is within you. That inner person, that soul that you have, if Jesus is reigning on the throne of your heart, you are a part of that kingdom. And I would simply say this, listen, if Jesus is your king, he is your priority in life. Did you hear that? So therefore, when we say, thy kingdom come, that should be a natural thing for us because we're all about the fact that we have a king. As a matter of fact, let's put it this way. Most of the time we use the word God, if you have another God, but whoever your king is, well, that's your top priority in life. If your king is your work, your job, well, that's your top priority in life. If your king is sports, we always use sports. If your king is sports, well, that's your top priority in life. If Jesus really is your king, then you have him as your priority. Just a natural thing. It's the very nature of having a king. Does that make sense? Now see, if I'm the one who's reigning on the throne of my own heart, then buddy, I'm top priority. And how many people live moment to moment simply with, this is what I want, this is how I want it to work out, this is what I want for me, this is what I want to experience. They are their own king, so therefore they are their own top priority. But if Jesus is your king, then you have that king that is from another realm. You remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus? Now here's Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is a spiritual leader, all right? He's one of those who's leading people, and he has no idea what he's doing. Now I'm not trying to say that in an ugly sense, he just didn't. The examples around him didn't know what they were doing. But I'm going to tell you something about Nicodemus. Nicodemus knew something was different about Jesus. Can I stop and say this? Have you not noticed something's different about Jesus? Everybody around us may not represent him as well as they should, but Jesus himself, there's something different about him. Nicodemus saw something was different about Jesus. And so he went to Jesus at night because he didn't want his buddies to know. And Jesus, we know that you've come from God because nobody could do the things that you do unless God is with him. He recognized that. And that's when Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see what we're talking about today, the kingdom of God. Religious leader, there you are. You think you're probably better than people around you because you know you're trying to live right. You think you're okay with God. Listen, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, what do you expect me to do, enter back into my mother's womb and be born again? You see, really, unless we have the guidance of the Lord and his Holy Spirit, we're going to be lost. But Jesus said, no, Nicodemus. And we see this in John 3, verses 5 and 6. He said, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you know, your mother's water breaks when she is giving birth. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I know some people try to attach baptism to this, but listen, folks, baptism is nowhere in the context of the passage. As a matter of fact, the passage is very clearly talking about the difference between physical things and spiritual things, and that's why in verse 6 he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, this kingdom that's from another realm. Nicodemus, you've been born of the flesh, but no, you need to be born again, not of the flesh again, but you need to be born of the Spirit. He shared that same thing with him later. He said, Nicodemus, listen, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? We're trying to talk about two different things here. My kingdom is not of this realm. You need to be born again, not physically. You need to be born spiritually. Otherwise, you see those words at the end of verse 5. It says, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You will not have the king as reigning in your heart being his dominion. So, what are we talking about today? Jesus teaches us to pray. Okay, first thing on your prayer list, Certainly after you recognize the one with whom you're speaking, thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God. So to pray, thy kingdom come, in this realm, is to pray that Christ would become the king with his dominion being over the hearts of more and more men, women, boys, and girls. Okay? Now, I realize that a lot of times it's possible that when you have read through this prayer and you've tried to do more than just chant it and think that was what we needed to do, it's possible that when you came to thy kingdom come, you were thinking, well, the Lord needs to come back and we need to see the full consummation of his kingdom. And it's good to look forward to that. It's a blessing to look forward to that. It's an encouragement to know that Jesus did say, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But when Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, he wasn't saying, what I want you to do is recognize that your Father is holy and then just sit here and wait for him to come back and get you. He was saying, I want you to recognize that my kingdom, the disciples kept getting confused, thought it was an earthly kingdom. No, it's a spiritual kingdom that's been brought to earth, but it still is a spiritual impact over the hearts of people. So to say thy kingdom come is to say, Lord, I'm committing my life to you, that as we share the gospel, more and more people will have you reigning on the throne of their hearts as their Lord and Savior. Now, a lot of us will put it this way. Lord, save the lost. Lord, save our country. Well, that'd be wonderful. It really would. But here was Nicodemus, a religious leader, and he thought he had it all figured out until he met Jesus. You know, the people in our world think they've got it all figured out, but they'll never have it figured out until they meet Jesus. And how are they going to meet Jesus if you don't share him with them? How are they going to realize there's another kingdom that is not of this realm unless they see a people who are living with a different king? That's us. See, if they see us living for the same things that they're living for, they're going to wonder, why do y'all go to church on Sunday? But if they see us living with a different king, and that being Jesus, they'll have an opportunity to recognize there's something other than this. Nicodemus had the opportunity to recognize there's something other than this. Otherwise, our nation is going to miss it because nobody told them. A lot of times we're just mad at the nation for living wrong. You can't expect people who do not know Christ to live like Christians. Amen? And sometimes in the ignorance of popular Christianity, we keep hoping America will become a Christian government and fix everything. Only Jesus can fix this mess, amen? Otherwise, we're all just going to miss it, just like they did. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, it said, when Jesus approached, he saw the city, that being Jerusalem, he wept over it. Why did he weep over it? Because they missed it, and judgment was coming. Verse 44, Jesus said, your enemies will level you to the ground, your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Are we making the same mistake? Even those who were followers of all the Old Testament prophecies, in their mind they were looking for an earthly Messiah to come. They were looking for something else. What are we looking for? Are we missing it? So you and I need to realize God's kingdom is now. Don't wait for some sign from your favorite teaching on Revelation. Christ is reigning right now. He's king right now. He's already won right now. He's already at the right hand of the Father. He's poured out his Spirit so that Christian people can actually live a part of this eternal kingdom now. So the world can see something that's different. Well, what are they going to see? Nicodemus could tell something was different about Jesus. And if Jesus is the King reigning on the throne of your heart, they will see something different about you. They will. It can't help but be any other way. It's got to be Jesus if he's reigning on the throne of our heart. There is a kingdom. As a matter of fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. And notice verse 25, which really chronologically comes before 24. You realize, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. He's already reigning. He will reign until he's put all enemies under his feet, and then he will deliver up the kingdom to God. What are we talking about? Thy kingdom come. So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the fact that one of the things we want him to do is in the personal lives of people around us, we want him to abolish rule and authority of anything other than himself in their heart. What has authority in your heart right now? Say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, we need to do what Jesus said to do a long time ago. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled. He said that 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel that Paul said reveals the actual righteousness of God. And so when you go to God in prayer, what's on the top of your prayer list? Have you written it down yet? I hope already in your mind you're saying, I've got to put that at the top of my prayer list. I've not had it there. That's what the Lord wants to talk to me about. I need to talk to him about the kingdom of God. We're going to put that at the top of our prayer list. And so when you go to the Father, one of the things that we've heard in the midst of this already, he is saying to us. You ever think about it that way? When you go to God in prayer, what if he wants to talk first? He does. You know why he wants to talk first? Because he already knows what you need. But he knows you have not heard what he has had to say because you've been busy listening to other things. He wants to talk first, and he wants to say, hey, listen, I'm your Father. I know what you need. I welcome the likes of you in Christ. I am that holy God that in the Old Testament they couldn't even get close to me, but I want you to get close to me. He's still holy. And the first thing on my list, I hope it's the first thing on your list, I want you to want to talk with me about the fact that I am King. I want you to talk with me about my dominion, first of all in your own life, and then in the life of the people around you for whom you care. Listen, when you're praying for the people you care about most, and you're praying about the earthly things that you hope get fixed in their life, that's okay. But before all of that should be that you pray that God in Christ is King of their life. That's what the Father wants to talk with us about. Otherwise, when we say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, all that is a religious tradition that we've memorized by rote, and it is a lifeless dishonor to the King. How much of our Christian life is a lifeless dishonor to the King because we're just going through motions, but we're really not serving our great God and King, Jesus Christ? Which is kind of scary. You do realize not everybody's going to get into the kingdom. Y'all realize that? You know, some of us think, well, you know, God's so gracious, when we get to the end, everybody's just going to get in. Well, that's just simply not what the Bible says. Y'all know that. It says it in different places. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Look at that with me if you would. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? No, they won't. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me? Hey, listen, y'all hang with me. It looks like you're with me. All right? Stay with me. Because I know what time it is. But it's okay. We're going to get done. If you're like me, it'd take many, many, many days before you'd starve to death, right? But stay with me. I'm asking you. Ask God for a little more spiritual energy to hang with me. I don't want you to lose this. A lot of times when we come to this verse or a passage like it, we do one of two things. Listen. A lot of times we'll take this verse, and if we're in a small group setting, a lot of times in that small group setting, we kind of begin, not trying to do something wrong, but we kind of begin trying to discount as much of the verse as we can. Because we want to feel good about life, okay? We begin to kind of try to discount some of those things. Well, yeah, but you know, most people are probably going to make it anyway, okay? But why don't we let the Word of God be God's Word? And let the Holy Spirit convict us such that we repent and believe in the gospel. All right? Let's just believe the verse. Now, as a matter of fact, let's just be honest, in our particular popular Christianity in this particular age, a lot of Christians would take this verse, and if they were in a small group, would pull out, see, there's the verse that says homosexuals don't get into heaven. All right, let's just be honest. Wouldn't that, boy, we pull that out of there. Okay. Let's pull out something else today. The Lord led me to pull out the word, the covetous. How many times have you been in a small group, you come across this verse, and it said, that's the verse that says the covetous don't get in the kingdom of God. You have never heard that in your life, I promise you. But now you have. You see, God was not haphazard about His word. The covetous is in the same verse as homosexuals, same verse as adulterers, same verse as thieves, the covetous. And so when your king is a life where, boy, I got to have that. Oh, they got to experience that. I got to experience that. Or look, you see that relationship they have, and I've got to have that. I've got to have this. And may the Holy Spirit speak to your heart the truth you need to hear. Don't listen to Matt, okay, right here. Every time you look at Facebook, oh, I don't need that. Oh, look at that. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. Oh, look what they're doing. I get to do that. You are bombarding yourself with a temptation to be covetous. The covetous do not inherit the kingdom of God. That ought to concern anybody living in America, any other nation for that matter. Okay? So what are we talking about? What in the world are we talking about? Oh, listen, we have good news. There is a kingdom, and it's right now, and there is a king, and his name is Jesus, and he's promised if we will talk to him about his lordship, his kingship, his dominion first, he'll take care of all this other stuff that we think we need, and so we won't have to be covetous, and we can be part of his kingdom. That's good news. I got to the last page. And I've actually cut stuff out of that. Let's jump to the very last verse that I want to share with you. It says in Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. We started with that with Daniel. He's got a kingdom that will never end, a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. Since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and you realize how incredible that is. The United States has been so arrogant through the years. We thought we're the greatest nation that's ever been, and nothing's ever going to get us. Listen, if God doesn't come back first in Christ, this nation will crumble. Oh, no, Brother Matt, we're never going to crumble. Everything's going to be fine. Well, praise God. Listen, if I'm proven wrong, man, I'll be right here with you rejoicing. Okay? But Israel crumbled. Okay? See, that's what he said when he wept over Jerusalem. Not one stone will be left upon another. Since you receive a kingdom, we're not worried about an earthly kingdom anymore. We're a part of a kingdom that is beyond the farthest reach of the universe.
We receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Therefore, we want to offer to our King in gratitude, thanksgiving, acceptable service. And I'll clarify, a lot of times when you do an earthly survey, you have unacceptable, acceptable, exceptional. But in this context of offering sacrifices, when they offered sacrifices, it was either acceptable or unacceptable. So we offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, because hallowed be thy name.
One day King David was hunkered down in a hiding place. They were fighting with the Philistines. And the Philistines had overtaken Bethlehem, the city of David. And there's David, and he's thirsty. Oh, well, I'm thirsty right now. If I had some water, I could use it. He was thirsty. He said, oh, it was just kind of one of those emotional, oh, I wish somebody would go get me some of that fresh, wonderful, cool water from the well that's in Bethlehem by the gate. Well, that passage at the end of 2 Samuel is talking about the mighty men of David and all the things that they did, and how they would go against a bunch of men and just wipe them out single-handedly. And at this point, the three mighty men heard David say, I need some water, I'm thirsty. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, went to the well at Bethlehem, got him some water, brought it back to him. The Bible says, at the jeopardy of their lives, they loved their king. They would have said, David's kingdom come. We say, thy kingdom come. It's interesting, when you're reading that passage, you get to the end of it, it says, these things the three mighty men did. What will it be said about us? What will it be said that we did for our king? These guys risked their lives to get their king a drink of water. Is your king that praiseworthy that you would give your life to him? Otherwise, to pray thy kingdom come is just lip service. Our king is awesome. And only because of his grace, we can touch holiness. And we can touch heaven, and we can bring heaven to others on earth who do not realize there's a kingdom in another realm that'll never end, that'll never be destroyed. All things are provided all through Jesus' blood shed for us on the cross. We've got good news. And if we're not careful, we're sharing the bad news right along with the world these days. We've got good news. Let's share the good news. But it's not going to be good news to share for them until it's been good news for me and for you. You say, okay, why thy kingdom come? Amazing love. How could it be that my king would die for me? The three mighty men risked their lives for their king, but our king gave his life for us. The least we can do is give our life for him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Let our hearts be filled with gratitude. Father, that you would die for us in Christ,
that you would choose to give us the kingdom, that you would want to speak with us in prayer, and as Jesus taught us, that we would recognize you when we come to you, and the first thing on our list would be about your kingship and your dominion, and that we would want to talk with you about that, and our fellowship would be sweet, rich, pointed, purposeful, such that it influenced everything else on our prayer list. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.